What's up, race fans? You have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the In the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
What's up, everybody? It's your host, Slammin' Sam, back at it again in the studio recording another episode of In the Groove podcast. This thing just keeps on going, and I love this groove that we've been in lately, and the guests just keep getting better and better. All right, I'm just going to get to it. Today's guest needs no introduction. I know I've said that a lot, but if you've ever been at a starting line of an NHRA event, if you've ever seen some sick videos that have been produced by this company, I mean, you know the face, you know the name. I mean, and if you haven't watched the video yet, she's on the Disney movie Right on Track, my friend, my colleague. Her name is Courtney Enders. What's up?
You make me sound cooler than I am.
No, I mean, you are. And like I said on the starting line, I'm just going to get right into it. Before I ask you to introduce yourself, please explain this right here.
There's a lot of different Courtneys that we all deal with, and that one cannot be tamed. She gets so excited. That is just pure pride. That is pure pride. I lose my bananas every time we're on the starting line. Sometimes I jump, sometimes I squat, sometimes I scream at the top of my lungs. It just feels so good. All the hard work, it's almost just like a release. Cannot be trusted on the starting line.
That's awesome. And like I said, I mean, you're on the Disney movie Right on Track. Explain what that was like. Explain who the CE is. I mean, you've got a lot going there for you.
Well, my sister and I started racing junior dragsters when we were kids. Long story short, if you've seen the movie, you know that. We were two of the first sisters in the country. I know there were others and other girls, and we're still friends with all of them, but we kind of just hit the wave at the right time. My dad did all the right things. He was a marketing guy in our real life, as we say, and he kind of had fun with us, and it was successful, and Disney made the movie. And flash forward 142 drag racing years later, Erica's three-time, hopefully four-time by the time this comes out. Who knows how the world will turn out. But and I've got a media company and do a lot of dabbling within the industry. I kind of just got in where I fit in, you know. So some may know me as her little sidekick. The others who watch my hustle know that she's a small sliver. She was the reason that I came to do this and my first big client. But she's just a part of my game out there now.
Exactly. And, you know, you're speaking of, you know, your sidekick. And I just want to address the elephant in the room, right? Everyone says, oh, you're just chasing off of your sister's coattail. I mean, how many times have you heard that? Have other people in the media industry like myself and just everybody, oh, that's just what she's doing. But then what people don't know or don't see is the long hours, the, you know, editing videos in between rounds, just like I'm repping the shirt right now, the Door Slammers, where we finally, like, and I can honestly tell this story. It was the first time that I actually met your sister and yourself. Super fangirl mode, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've told everyone that. Yeah, cheers to that. But I've told everyone, like, honest to God, most people want to meet, you know, your LeBron Jameses, your Kawhi Leonards, your football stars, right? But I love drag racing. I love racing, period. So to finally meet you guys there in a chilled atmosphere was unbelievable. I mean, I remember texting Wes that night and going, I cannot believe the people that I've talked to today.
And it was such a cool environment. It wasn't like, you know, the NHRA race and the hype and the hoopla when all the fans are there. It's awesome, but it's a whole different level of stress. And these drivers kind of get from point A to point B, not to avoid the fans, but we're at work, you know, and they're performing and athletes trying to win championships. And there's a lot of distractions. That race was so cool. It was like just all of the greats rubbing shoulders, There was no separation of anything. There was no starting line rules. There was no regulation. And it was just, it was one of the coolest. I've been to a gazillion races in my life. And I'm not just saying this because I helped. One of the coolest races I've ever been to.
For sure. And then, you know, you guys, one of your partners winning the race, Alex, I mean, big shout out to him. We did catch an interview with him and catch an interview with yourself where at the starting line, you guys just went bananas. I mean, absolute bananas.
There's a certain risk when you put on a race. Like we love drag racing is one big family. I think we're very different in sports where I can confidently say that you can go up to most of the time your biggest on-track rival and have a beer at the end of the day or joke around, what have you. It's pretty much like that most of the time. But there is just something about putting on your own race and having the chance of your rival team coming away with your money at your race. So it wasn't even just about that. It was, and it was cool. But the fact that we went two final rounds in a row, Jeg won, and then we got to follow it up with Alex's win. It was like elevation level excitement here for Jeg, which we thought was the roof. And then stack it on with Alex's. And there's pictures and videos that are just embarrassing for me.
I mean, hey, you know, just like I told Mark, no one's safe on this podcast, but walked into Sunday feeling cute, about to win 50K. So how does that feel for you when you go through all of this and at the end of the, you know, race weekend, you're able to finally bring your group together and sit them in the winner's circle and put the hats on and take the pictures. I mean, for God's sake, there was a baby crocodile or alligator there. I mean, different
there
things
was.
Like
you
that.
You know what, fun story? We didn't have that planned. And JT, if y'all know Murder T from Wes's show, he kind of, I don't even know how it came about, but he jokes about having a gator. And if y'all know me, somebody challenges me, I'm going to find it. So all day, I'm going to get a gator. I'm going to get a gator. And we found a gator and his name was Jimmy and we rented him and he was awesome.
No, exactly.
But no, it was so fulfilling because not only just the race being a success, that would have been enough in itself, but just all the personal and friend successes that we had there from the Midway, Randy Lynn ship, she freaking kills it in her game too. Her there helping us out with all of that. Lonnie Grimm with all the tech stuff. We just had Jason Logan. Joe Cassette. We had the entire A team, in my opinion, in the entire industry and with no rules. It just worked. It was fail-proof, in my opinion, and I want to do more.
So asking about your King Ridge media, as you can see in the ticker below, anybody, go and check their work out. If you need media work done in the industry, across the board, anything motorsports or you want an advertise in any way, check out King's Ridge Media. But how did that come about for you? I know that, you know, you've always been there to support your sister, but when did you finally take that step to say, you know what, I want to go out on my own or start something, and when did that really come out for you?
It's kind of transitioned, and I think it's ever transitioning to, especially, I'll go backwards here, but especially with COVID, what we thought was our business model and plan, you know, when your whole income and your whole life is ripped out from underneath you, meaning the races, we had to kind of redistribute there, but it's been a long going. I started this just whenever I could afford to bring myself out and go watch my sister. Facebook and stuff were new, so I would just take pictures and put them online and just have albums on her Facebook page that we could show sponsors or go back to. It was just cool memories that I had a front row seat to and decided to do it. I don't have any kind of experience or passion in videography, took photography all through high school and college, loved it, but just out of pleasure, never anything that had to do with my major or anything like that. So it was always just kind of never really thought of it and just did it to tool my sister up. And when she signed with Elite, Richard Freeman offered me a gig. I went out one race, the Vegas race, the first race that they all won together, and she won the K&N shootout. And the first win that I had ever seen her win. She had won a couple in 2012. Just so be it, I never was there. So that race in 2014 was the first time that I got to see her win. We had a great weekend. I worked, did Elite's social, but again, I never really tried to get a job out of it. It was just because I was there. And I got home from the Vegas trip, and actually he convinced me to ditch my commercial flight right on the PJ with them. And by the time we'd landed, he had me convinced to move to Oklahoma and work for Elite Motorsports. And I was team manager for a long time. Did the social, just, it wasn't important. Sponsors didn't invest in it yet. So I just did it for fun. Did the books for the race team, all the nitty-gritty stuff, hotel nonsense you don't want to do. I did that for the first few years of Elite Motorsports. And Drew Skillman, when he came on board, he asked me to take pictures for him, said, I'll pay you a stupid low amount to take pictures of my car and post on my Facebook page. His exact words were, put me on the interwebs.
Hey, some of us would do that. Some of us would do it for that ridiculous low amount.
Yeah, well, and he's grandfathered in. He made me sign in blood, and that's why I get angry. To this day, I've done all of his stuff. To this day, he pays me the same amount that he started to pay me that day before I did anything, because he was the first person, reason I went on this long banter, first person that believed in me besides my sister in that sense. It took me serious. Worked with Geiger for a little bit with my sister, but nobody, it was just assumed that I did Erica's and that was it. So branched out on my own, did his and a couple of others, just side hustling, created a little DBA, collecting $400 or $500 a weekend from people to do cool stuff. And it blossomed into CE Media, which is what I did by myself. I was contracting out help, and Wes Buck and I had a conversation at PRI, like most things are birthed at, and he needed me and I needed the tools that he had. And we merged up, and now we don't do most of the things that both of us do go out of Kings Ridge. We both are still side hustle entrepreneurs, got stuff locally here in Fort Worth that I still do through CE Media and all that. And Wes still has all his Drug Illustrated stuff, but it was too good of a niche and the team was too good to not at least have an opportunity for us to bring business in there. And it's just grown. And I've been at the racetrack for 3 years straight with him now. So much for not traveling as much.
Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slammin' Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
So you speak about, you know, a couple of things that I want to bring up there. And one for sure is combining with Wes Buck. What is that energy, that atmosphere? What, like you said, you had your own thing and Wes has his own thing, but you guys still merged together and created this dream, you know, that's reality for a guy like myself. But, you know, like something that we all have to look forward to. What is that like? And what is it like working with someone who just has the same energy that you have on race day?
We kind of do joke that we think each other loves drag racing almost as much as the other person. So I think we found our match there, but our creative, I don't want to say geniuses, but his is, but our creative vibes flow well together. He is a freaking lightning bolt. You cannot catch him. If you catch him, you need to bottle him up real quick. Get everything out that you've needed to tell him. Get all the information that you need from him. Because the second he walks away from you, 8,000 other things pile on. And I'm not saying we're not all busy. And I'm not saying we don't all have stuff. But you look around in our entire industry, not even just our little sport. He's everywhere. I don't know how he has time. All he does is just dabble all day to maintain all the things going on. So I feed off that as well. But I'm an executor. So we kind of have a good flow where we say he kisses babies, waves, and I get in and put the gloves on and get to work and close it out, you know?
So, and then my next question is, you mentioned PRI. We've all done the PRI show, and a lot of deals are honestly made there, right? I mean, you get the chance to get in front of people and talk with people and sit down and say, hey, look, this is what 2020 looked like, or this is what 2019 looked like. This is what 2020, you know, or 2021 would look like. So, missing that this year because of COVID and how COVID has messed up racing a little bit. I think that's a topic that we can definitely talk about. But do you think it shakes things up for making deals with people in for the next upcoming years with having no PRI?
Yes and no. There is the obvious what you just said. You lose that for people like us who are slanging and banging and need to get, like, Wes Buck bottle the lightning and get him to sign that paper. That happens there a lot. So that's going to be a huge part of it. But on the flip side, for my business and what we're doing, there is a huge chunk of money that companies have allotted and are not spending. These booths, the travel, all of it. So we've actually accidentally kind of knocked in on a sales pitch of use this time, the longer off season coming up, a little bit, maybe, I know everybody's cut on the budget, but there was still something in your budget allotted to the PRI show in your marketing department at some point if you were invested in it. So they're taking little chunks, and we've gotten a couple of new clients through literally them saying, we have a little bit of PRI money to spend. Can we make some marketing materials that will help us, you know, make up for that loss? So there's been good, there's been bad. We've kind of realized that drag racing can't be the only thing that you have. So we're chasing stuff locally here that we were forced to with COVID, and now they've become some of the greatest business partners that I have. 360 Wraps, Eagle Marine Boat Dealership, Yeah, we're just like, I mean, anything that we can here. A girl who does facials and Botox and manicures and stuff. I just had a meeting with her the other day. So I've let it teach me to maybe get some mailbox money here at the house to be able to go and play at the racetrack.
So in other words, what you're saying is when I don't hear from you for a while, you're not really just ignoring me.
No,
that was a joke.
I probably honestly have 42 unread text messages.
No, it was funny, right? Because I know I had messaged you on Instagram. I had messaged you on Facebook. And I was like, I'll just leave those there. Then all of a sudden, my phone, bling, and I'm like, I honestly, no lie, I was like, this is a spam account. This has to be. And then you're like, hey, sorry.
It's been happening.
Yeah. And so I'm like, sorry. And then you were like, sorry, I didn't get back to you. I've been busy. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I get it. Doing that, traveling as
that
much.
That sounds so cliche, though. It does. But when I'm not at the or when I'm at the racetrack, I do not answer, because if I answer and acknowledge somebody, or if I read that text, in 5 minutes, 900 things are going to happen and I'm never going to do it. So my method is, if you've ever texted me PSA, I leave it unread until I can handle it or give you the answer you need. And that's how I function.
No, that I've just started writing everything down. If I have a notebook,
you have to.
If I don't write it down and look at it that week, I won't get back to you. And
my best friend in the whole world.
So, like you said, 360 Wraps and different things like that. So this kind of brings up the controversy. And if anyone knows Courtney, you know, hey, she will say exactly what she thinks.
Excited. I started wagging my tail.
So, I did this interview with Alex at the Door Slammer race. 1,700 people have watched this video. I've gotten so many hate messages in mail because how could you, you know, portray him to be a good guy when he's doing this and he's doing that. I saw your comments on the whole thing when he did the Power of the People, where people want to be on a race car. People want to be a part of things that they like. If John Force did a Power of the People, people would do it. You know, yeah. People would sign up. So how did that feel for you? How did that honestly feel for you going into that and seeing people just, I mean, and it happens across the board, but I'm just using Alex as an example. But how does that feel to you knowing that people will judge him and say, oh, you're doing this, when they have no idea of why he's doing it and how he's doing it, just so he can get to do what he loves to do and he helps out 200 and some people. So how did that feel?
I'm going to start that answer with literally today. I talked to him today. We were talking about some other stuff. And I said, what are you doing? It's weird noise in the background. He was stuffing the tubes of the Power of the People posters that we had already spent days peeling. Literally, I went with him, peeling off those stickers one name at a time, slapping them on those posters, him signing it. It has been, we have a time lapse of him signing all of those. I mean, there has been man hours on man hours on man hours. He's damn near lost money on it. It was able to pay the bills and give that. But with all the marketing and extra stuff that he did with it, people don't understand. He's easy to hate. He's just an example. Like you said, he's easy to hate because, and I'll probably get some shit for this, but he's good looking. He's young. He's talented. He's controversial. He's well-liked and well-hated because of all those things. He plays into it, which makes people just, the people who love him more. And the people who hate him, God, it pisses them off, and that fuels him. But it does. I get really, not offended. You know, it doesn't offend me, but it angers me that they don't even give them a chance. They forget that these are real people. Let's be real. What we're doing isn't that cool. We're not, you know, Brad Pitt or anything. I think we're cooler, but you can go to the grocery store and be a normal human. But it just bothers me that they don't even try and understand that person's point of view. And I have a very special view of these people. Not only are they, Alex is one of my best friends in the whole world, but my sister, like, I know them as people, but I watch them work. And nobody sees what I see. And so why I pipe in all the time is I feel that I have a view that other people don't, and it might just actually make them think for a second. And also, just type in ugliness. People need to be called out anyway.
So, no, and I look at it and I'm like, you know what? That's his PR person. Like, that's someone that knows him best. Like, I've seen, you know, I saw you guys at PRI, would have been the 2019 PRI, where we don't really talk about that too much because I have one of those shirts that says, sorry, I'm late. I was taking shots with JT.
I was going to say, are we about to talk PRI after hours?
No, definitely not. Yeah, I woke up to a text of me dancing from a couple people and yeah, no.
That was good night.
But, you know, and it's just like that. Like, you go from having someone that's well-liked, well-hated, and then you have someone that's like the lovable person of all people, which is your sister. Like, you know, hands down. And even in that interview she had last week at the top end, she, you know,
she
was a little heated, and people don't really see that side of Erica that much. I mean,
well, we're trained and we're told from a young age, you know, and you know me, you know how I stand in all things. I'm not a raging feminist by any means, but there are differences. And we were taught, even as young girls racing race cars, that you don't show your ass. You wait till you get back to the trailer. You do not show your ass. You're impressing sponsors, this and that. But at the same time, there is a fine line of, this is what we do. This is passion. And this is literally in that moment. I know it's not life or death, but it is. You know, that was 36 seconds of game playing on the starting line. Me as a fan, I love it. I was hooting and hollering. It was awesome. But me sitting there with my foot on the clutch, I'd have been a little pissed too. And she brought it down there, and it brings attention to pro stock. And I think her fire through the years, she got scrutinized pretty bad at the beginning. Kind of like Angel. There's a famous video of Angel crying, like, you know, so be it. Like, this is, that's just the way that it is. But through the years, I think she's progressed in her saltiness, and it's almost respected.
Are you giving her crash course lessons in the yes, in the pit there? You're like, hey,
I need
some fire out of you.
Her.
No, and that's good.
I am a joke and I'm her hype girl, but literally I make her look me in the eyes. Do you believe this shit? Like, are you ready? I don't know. And I just make her, like, I really feel there's the reason I'm so close to Alex, Drew, Erica, all of them, Jag, that I do. They're my closest friends off the track because there's a relationship, in my opinion. I don't just go take pictures of them. There are some people that maybe that I do, but I'm invested in these people. And if I'm going to put my stamp on them and stand behind them and beside them on the starting line, that means a lot more to me than I think it does to some of the other people out there. And I'm not saying my stuff's better, but I think that that shows in what I do. So not that you asked that, but I just had that epiphany on my own. You asked about the closeness, but I think that's why I get on a level with them and help keep them up. These are athletes at the end of the day, and it's mental strength, and they don't always have the ability to do that by themselves. So you got to keep them up.
All right. So we're kind of diving into this, and I like it, but I'm a big fan of, like, John Force when he goes on his rants, right? Like, this is the way it is and blah, blah, blah. And F it if you don't like it. And I've spent my whole life. I like that. Last year when the punch was thrown, right? The punch that was heard around the world, like, it's different things like that, that shows these people are not just, I get in the car and I race. This is their livelihood. Some of them, this is their livelihood.
Blood, sweat, tears.
And so I think for me, and just like everything that's going on with the NHRA right now, with pay cuts and different things, I think there's a lot of things that are fueling these people to, you know what? Hey, I'm going to show my raw emotion because this is the stuff that I have to fluster with and deal with day in and day out in the shop. And then when it finally all comes to, you know, the forefront and you guys ask these questions, hey, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to be real with you. And I think, you know, you said you work with Elite. I think I read that article with Richard here, that Drag Illustrated. I think he honestly enough was enough of holding it back. And if I get in trouble from NHRA or, you know, probably don't get a spot there if I apply, but I think that was kind of...
Nah, I've been publicly saying stuff on the internet for years, and they still call me today, call me asking for, you know, we're working together on championship stuff. No.
No,
they,
so...
They actually, at the beginning of the season last year in our PR meeting, told us, I don't know if I should say told us to, but encouraged us to have our drivers be outspoken about anything but the fans. Everything is fair game, NHRA, the point system, your competitors, anything is off limits except the fans and the safety safari. And I thought that that was a really good jump by them, because for years, like you just said, maybe I'll get in trouble. And, you know, we've all lived that manner of, you know, please the kiss the ring, please the top. But there's a small wave of them. They're not all there yet, but there's a small wave of them that are, that see the good in this, and it brings out the personalities. And like when Erica and Tanner got an argument, they weren't going to air it because they were worried about female nonsense. And Erica, no, air it. Like, dang, that's a fight. It's fine.
And I mean, like I said, that interview was raw. Like, this is how we feel. This is how we've been feeling. And if it doesn't change, then maybe we're going to look at other things. But I think that's what we need more of. We see it in all these other all other motorsports. You see guys smashing helmets and banging stuff in the pits, right? You see guys and girls.
It's everybody's favorite part.
And my thing is here, and I'm going to say this. If you do it and you put it on air, controversy, there's a couple of things that I think sell in the world. It's controversy, sex, and fake news. I mean, if we look at it, right? I mean, if you have a controversy between two people, right? Look at the world today. It's going to be all over everything. Sex,
for it. Yep.
Sex sells. Victoria's Secret, that guy is the smartest man in the world. I mean, hands down. And fake news. I mean, if you can make something up and have everyone believe it, everyone's going to listen to it. So, yep. I mean, it's those couple of things that I think our sport, we don't need the fake news, but and the second one, but we need a little bit more controversy. We need to see a little bit more of what these people were really like, their true emotions. And I think there's one thing that you guys do really well, and that's driving that bitch back. I mean,
that is so cool.
I honestly, like, they're... At the end of every year, and hey, I'm going to give you this idea. At the end of every year, you need to make a different shirt that says, I drove this bitch back, and then have every date
like
on the...
Like a tour, like a
yeah,
concert
like
tour.
A tour shirt, yeah. So on the back of it, you know, it can say, like, I drove this bitch back, and then 2021, and then have every date underneath it. Because you think about it. 14, 15, and 19, you guys have lit the world on fire. 2020,
yeah, a lot of wins.
2020, you can do the same thing. There's a chance. But there's a controversy race that I still think we're going to talk about when you guys pull into Vegas next week. I mean, the way that the NHRA handled that, who knows?
Not good.
But it could have gone either way, and you know, I've talked to a few people. Will we talk about that on the final day when all the points are being calculated?
Here's what I told my sister, because she asked the same thing. She said, what if, and again, she's the wonderer, and I'm the, no, this is the way it is. And I said, look, there's, I mean, not to say it's magic by any means, but however it's going to be, it's going to be. Whether that's decided already or not, it's going to be that way regardless. So all of this is just a part of a story, right? We had a long start, if you take our family story. We had the long start. This little 2020 is such a snippet in it. Whether she wins this championship and does the back-to-back thing, whether she loses by one point, whether three people pass her and she ends up fourth, however it may be, when you get done with it, here's the graph, and there's just all of this and that. 2020 is such a unique part of that graph, and there's so many stories that we have. So whether you finish, I don't think that the biggest stories are going to be Erica won the championship, Jack Beckman won the championship, whoever the heck else is up in these things. I try to pay attention, but I can't pay attention to anything but bike and pro stock. But I think the most important and coolest part of 2020 is all the shit that's been thrown at us. Like all of it, all the schedule changes. I have a piece of paper on my wall in my office that I left for a reason. It was the first printout of the schedule after COVID, that first release like four schedules ago. And I have all of them crossed out and just all the changes, PDRA put in the middle, cancel Topeka, move it down here. And it just, I was looking at it the other day, just thinking like, that's the biggest part of 2020. So no matter what happens, I mean, we survived. Our sport finished its season. It may have not done as many as we planned, but there was only a couple that we didn't get to. Considering the world was shut down for 6 months, that's a huge win in my opinion. And all the shit we can talk about at HRA, they got it done. They lost their sponsor in the middle of it, and we finished, period.
So with all that, and I've got two questions. With all that, you've got one. Is 2020 going to have an asterisk next to it? Like, you're the 2020 champion asterisk. Like, with all, and
I
then...
I don't think it's a butt asterisk. I think it's like almost an extra badge of honor, like a purple heart. Like, we all get a Girl Scout patch for finishing the year, but like, damn, somehow you managed to suck the least. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, right? To think no fans, some fans kind of know it's not going to happen. We're shut back down. But think about it. When we were all together last, we weren't really thinking the world was going to shut down like this. We were
in Orlando. We were like, see you in 2 days.
Yeah, everybody was, hey, see you in 2 days. Or, hey, I'm getting, like, for me, it was like, hey, I'm getting on a flight. And there was a possibility of me driving home from Minneapolis, driving back to North Dakota, to drive right back to Minneapolis, to get right back on a flight to go back to Florida. And I'm like, and then all of a sudden, boom, nothing. And it's like, and then everybody's kind of like, what's going on? What do we do?
Yeah, that was some scary stuff. Those first few weeks where we didn't know when it was going to end, that was wild. No, we're down here in Texas and we've been open a while now, so.
Yeah, North Dakota, we didn't really shut down too much. And then we kind of went to like everybody wearing your mask. And now we, you know, we wear our mask everywhere. And it's, you just kind of learn to live with a new norm, even though it's not norm. But it just, I mean, until all this changes, and I know your beliefs on certain things.
I have a feeling it'll be soon.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that too. All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop, and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA and everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. So I had to switch my hat. You got the chance to meet one of the, if not the coolest person at a drag race. And by the time this airs, hey, I'm hoping, and we, you know, if how was that experience? Who did you get to meet? Can you talk about that?
In true Courtney fashion, and I'm going to multitask and try and find this photo, but I stumbled upon it. I didn't even mean to. I knew that he was going to be there. We talk about Eric Trump here, folks. I knew he was going to be there because of the Benzes. Bob Benzo races for us, and his daughter, Kimmy, she works for him. So we've had connections. She sends me Trump wine sometimes. We put the sticker on the car. They've sent well wishes, you know, but never really thought it would be anything more than a handshake and whatever. So I get back to the hotel, just disheveled, tired, hair in a hot mess bun, grease everywhere. And I go to the back of the bar where all of our elite people are, not a big crowd. And I order a drink. I order a glass of wine. And I said the F word. And I know if you know me that that's very rare, but I may or may not have F-bombed. And next to me is the president's son. And he laughed at me and made fun of me and told me that it was cute. Not cute. He didn't use the word cute. I'm not trying to start anything. Thought it was funny that a person who looks like me, the first impression is just such an aggressive F-bomb. So he introduced himself to me and was like, I like you. And next thing I knew, I was sitting there with him, Kimmy, Bob Benza, and the president's son. And we chatted for hours and the crowd got bigger and bigger and it was great. But I'm sitting there. I'm going to have to find the picture and show you. But I'm sitting there above everyone. I don't know why. And they're on bar stools like below me. And Eric is right next to me. And I'm being aggressive. My hands are out. Like I'm telling somebody the way it is. Got a little crop shirt on, really professional. And he's just looking at me like this. And our team like made a little meme and sent it to me. He was joking around, making fun of me. Like, here's Courtney just dictating the world. You're the president's son. But it was so cool. He was just such a cool dude who had questions about racing, came to the track the next day, asked for me, asked if I would take him on a little tour, show him where he needed to be. And I ended up spending all day with him, didn't do anything for Kings Ridge. Poor Dion, my boy Dion, shout out. He picked up that week or that day and let me be the host for the president's son. And we sat on the starting line, watched the whole fuel session, introduced him to all the sportsman guys. It was incredible. It was such an incredible experience.
So I have one of the pictures here, and I just popped it up on the screen.
So rad.
So, I mean, that's got to be one of those epic things, right, where you can sit there and say, you know what, hey, I've done a lot of different things at a racetrack. I've, you know, seen this person or this person. Like, my favorite male driver, hands down, goes to Antron Brown, my boy AB.
He is the coolest.
And so every time, you know, I've seen there was, oh, what year was that? That had to be 16, 15 or 16. We were actually in Vegas for the race. And that was the second time I had ever met Antron. And I walk up to him the second time and I'm like, hey, and then he's like, what's up, homeboy? And we chit chatted and talked. So then 18 was my first year at PRI. And he's like, I remember you from somewhere. And I'm like, we took a picture together, you know, in 15
yeah, but
or whatever.
How many people does he take pictures
exactly,
of with?
Right?
You know?
So then I'm like, okay. And so we sit there and chit chat for a little bit. And then 2019, I was walking by him and he goes, hey, Sam. And I'm like, what?
By name.
And I'm like, no. It's like one of those things when the first time that Wes, you know, said my name or my nickname with him is, you know, Six. He introduced me as Six. I don't know if you've heard the story about that or whatever.
Well,
but
I honestly didn't know y'all were the same for like 3 weeks. And then when I met you, he was like, oh, that's that. So I thought, you don't put a real name with a nickname unless you know, you know? Look at this. Can you see?
Yep. I can.
Like, what could I possibly be saying?
look, y'all. Look. Texas.
Let me tell you something.
true Texas fashion for you. Look, I'm gonna tell y'all this. So, and I mean, who knows, right? You see Wes, right? Wes, now we have a relationship that's like a big brother to me. I got to talk to my favorite girl driver, which happens to be your sister, at that race. And I'm standing, it was myself, Jason Logan. Didn't put two and two together there.
Clayton's the coolest ever.
Cool, hands down. You, Jason Logan, your sister, and Joe Costella. So I'm talking like a media person. Everyone that you look up to is like standing right there.
That's
and I'm
the
like,
clan.
And I'm like, and Wes walks over. He goes, oh, you seem to fit in the crowd. And I'm like, no. And then all of a sudden, the icebreaker, your sister goes, Jason, stop playing all this rap music. Play something country. And he goes, what am I supposed to play? Without a beat, your sister and I both go, Boot Scoot and Boogie. And I was like, match made in heaven. Like, yes.
Did we,
like,
just become best friends?
Like, from that day forward, I'm like, yep, mm-hmm. Like,
I remember, we were even during some delays, we were doing some dancing on the starting line.
I do have those media videos of, you know, Blake doing the moonwalk, you and Dion and
Lord knows what.
Brian, I want to say, is the other guy? Chad.
Chad is the freaking best. Chad's awesome.
So
he's gifted.
What is your team like at Kingsridge? I know we're kind of all over the place talking controversy, throwing a little politics in there. But what is your team, other than you and Wes? Who is your team built of?
The main three. We've got Wes and myself and Dion. Actually, Woody from JEG, Scott Woodruff. His son Dion works for me now. So
why
I
is he not on?
The, he's been hanging around.
Why is he not on the podcast? Where's he?
actually, I just texted him a little bit ago. I thought he was coming over to have dinner tonight, but I guess not. He's honestly one of my greatest friends too. We're a weird family here. We travel the whole country together and then have dinner on Wednesday night. It's weird. But we've got Wes, myself, and Dion. Dion and myself are pretty much the boots on the ground folks. We go to all the races. Mike Carpenter works for Wes. He is one of the most underrated people in this industry. He's anything from graphics designer. He runs the magazine. He is the crew chief on his dad's Pro Mod Racing team for PDRA.
He
is so structured and so organized.
I do want to give his dad a huge shout out. Mike and your dad, we are praying for you. Get well, if you guys are listening. If you guys need anything, if you guys need Dots pretzels or anything like that, please let me know. But Mr. Carpenter, please get well soon. Sorry to interrupt.
No, one of the coolest dudes in the world. And that was a crazy thing in itself, because we were, you know, just with him at the PDRA race right before that had happened. He had a stroke, and it was just wild. I'm veering off here now, but the last few weeks in the NHRA races, we've had some pretty scary incidents, and they even canceled a race because of issues on the racetrack and cars were crashing. And you think about the dangers of the people behind the wheel, but any one of us, any given second, you know, we're sitting having a beer one night and the next day you're in ICU. So that was a tough one to swallow on the random tragedies there. But supposedly he's doing better. But if they haven't already, they're getting close to checking him out and taking him home. So diverted a little there, but we've got Mike Carpenter. Mike Carpenter's on board with us. He basically is the glue, kind of helps when we're all at the racetrack uploading things online. He makes sure that our clients get what they need. He's the glue. We've got Nancy, who does our books. She does the books for Drag Illustrated too. So I get to steal her half the time, and she does our books there. And, JT Murder T, he's an account manager with us. He handles the Elite Motorsports, motorhome account with us. So we've got a whole team within ourselves where we all have multiple roles throughout all the businesses, but then we've got a team of contractors like Chad, who does all the video work, Blake Fontenelle, he does a ton of video work too. As you know, we need more than one videographer and editor. We've got photographers that we work with. You know, it's a lot of project-based instead of spending a lot of money on salary. Everybody in our world likes to do their own thing. You know, we're all entrepreneurs and all have our own media companies, so it just works better to be able to get the best of the best and do everything project based and contract them out. So we've got a pool of horribly talented people.
So going from a guy like working with Wes and then having JT on the other roads, so you get the busy bee, the guy that's, hey, we've got a slew of things to do, I'm going to use a couple of Wes Bucks, right? You know, his great words, a slew of things to do.
Yes.
And then you get a guy, even when I say his name, I get goosebumps. That's another Wes joke there. But getting a guy like JT to and from the track and, you know, everything like that, do you feel...
He's a fool.
But he brings that different atmosphere, right? When everyone is stressed out, you can always count on Murda to either crack a joke or crack a beer.
And he honestly, I know he may get mad at me for saying this, he is so much smarter and organized and more driven than you would think. Like, I until for Drag Illustrated, I do mostly congratulatory ads. I don't really go after a bunch of other accounts. But when drivers win, I'll hit up their sponsors and give them spreads and all that. And JT is actually my guy. Like, I send him the leads and the ideas, and I do all the contacts, and he writes up the contracts for us and helps price it out. And I told him I don't want to tell too many people because it'll ruin his reputation, but he's coming my get shit done guy. And that's not good. Because then I'm going to rely on him. But no, he is amazing. One of my favorite things, if y'all follow Elite Motorsports Facebook page, there's a bunch of us that run it for different content. But if you see a photo that I took from the racetrack and it's got a really derogatory or funny or witty caption, JT and I play this game. And the game is called He Has Access to My Lightroom Account, which has every photo I've taken of race cars for the past 5 years. There's like 42,000 photos. And part of his job every week is to go through my photos and think of the funniest or whatever caption. So when you see those funny photos, just random things where he says somebody said something, that is JT's true gift to life.
No, and I mean, you need that, right? Because sometimes you're like, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? But then to have that one person that's like, screw it.
We don't care. We don't care.
I mean, and that's just like, you know, another thing with you guys' videos is the, especially with the Elite videos, is the honk every time Richard.
That's a Blake Fontenelle classic.
See, and I knew that, but other people, you know, they're like, but every time someone drops the F-bomb, you'll hear the honk in there.
There's a lot of honking.
So then you mentioned we're gonna get back into it, into a little bit of racing before we really dive off the deep end here. But PDRA, you guys have stepped out into a lot more PDRA racing. Sorry, how has that been for you stepping into that and seeing that new world and doing media on that aspect?
I hope I don't get. Hope we don't get a little shit for saying this, but I learned so very much. The people, the one thing I like the most at the PDRA is the people. There's a lot of things that need to be done different in that organization for them to be where they want to be. They are striving. They're doing a lot of the right things to kind of get there, but there's some roadblocks and anchors that aren't willing to be changed to make that next step. With that being said, that's okay. What they've got is working for them, and it's a racers organization. So I don't mean anything bad by that, but I had to learn to kind of deal with that in a different way because it's such a different vibe, such a different situation. There's no TV program here, so you're needing to put out something different. So we kind of struggled in the beginning to find a point of what exactly they needed from us because they have speed video, but we learned with them, they learned with us, and I think that we did a pretty good job. I'm very critical of what we do. I wish that we could buy 50 red cameras and produce Marvel style movies for everybody, but we can't. But we were, Dion and I alone, at those races, every moment that we could try and do, if you've ever been to a PDRA race, there is not a moment, if they're not prepping the track, there's not a moment that there's not cars going down the racetrack. They have dozens of bracket bash cars, dozens and dozens. My God, the top dragster class never ends. There is a ton of action going on there. There's a ton of drama in the pits, but there's not the tools to get all of that action to the people who want to follow it. So there's so much more growth to even have done it, but we gave them an avenue for them to give their drivers and give their teams and give their employees a little boost and make it exciting for the people involved, because if the people involved can't buy into it, no one else can. So that was kind of where we started with them and trying to get more personality. And in my opinion, we did a really good job with that, with all the struggles they've had and, oh my gosh, all the weather, all the reschedulings, the COVID. It's been a wild, wild year, but I loved it. Those junior dragster kids, they stole my freaking heart. I totally missed an opportunity to go interview. I think it was Corey Voss or somebody didn't make weight. And Tyler even gave me a little shit, Tyler Crossnow, because I was watching the junior dragsters on the starting line because there was championship tendencies going on. And I just missed it because I was invested in cheering on my little buddy Lane Morgan. So I loved it. I wish I could have gone to the finals, but we were in Houston. And I hope that I can do something with them next year too. That was a long answer for your short question.
Nah, that's fine. It happens. But so, like I was saying, you know, upcoming years, are you going to be working, doing a lot more with PDRA next year? Is that kind of your plan? You're putting that in the schedule for upcoming years and in for the long haul?
I don't know. I'd like to. I think we need to change a little of what we're going to do for them, but that's just in my professional opinion. At the end of the day, right, wrong, indifferent, whether I like it, whatever they ask for, whatever the client asks for, I don't have to like it. I like what they've asked us to do, don't get me wrong, but we have some suggestions and avenues that we would go, and we'll do what they want at the end of the day. But I would like to. I'd like to continue to grow with them. Even I joked around with Judy Franklin and Lonnie Grimm and told them that I wanted to be the Evan of PDRA and just kind of help make it more exciting, of winner's circle. Like, they have the banner and they run them through and take the pictures, but just one small example, you know, I, at the NHRA winner's circle, they do the 1, 2, 3, yeah, like, we weren't even doing that, so there was no cheering, there was no fun, you know, so we got a stool and I sat with the photographer and kind of was amping up the crowd and being the hype girl and ended up making a really cool winner circle video to try and make it look cool. But there's a lot of different things across the board that I would like to do with them like that. So, holla if you hear me.
So looking forward, I mean, you guys have got a big week coming up here this weekend, going to Vegas, you know, Vegas. I would like to go to Vegas right now too. It's probably 70 something degrees instead of
Is it even open?
It's open. Everything is open as long as you have a mask. So, I mean,
everything's open.
Everything's open, right?
We only are allowed to have 10%. We only have 10% fans this weekend.
So does that cut back on you guys? Who's traveling? Who's not traveling? Or is Elite showing up Elite style?
Oh, we are large.
I mean,
and there's two potential champions, so.
So how does that feel, right? Because, I mean, looking at Elite, when I saw you guys last, you guys come in like a squad. I'm talking, you guys aren't just, hey, one or two people here. No, you guys are rolling deep. Like, what does that feel like knowing when you're standing at the starting line or when you're walking through the pits? Probably a good 30%, I'm just saying, is Elite people. Like,
dude, I am so proud of our squad. Like, there are so many cars that we have over there, with Bruno driving, Aaron Sandfield, Alex, Erica, TJ, Jeg, sometimes Bob Benza, at the Orlando race, Vincent Nobile came back and was racing with us. So the people that we've, not only the people that we've chosen, but it feels so good when we walk up to there. So Indy, the real Indy, the big go, everybody freaking lost first round except Erica and our team, which does not ever happen. Everybody was out literally from second round on. It was all hands on deck. So each one of those cars, I was telling you, that's got at least three guys on it, right? So 3 to 5 guys, depending on what the situation is. You start doing the math there. You add on all of Richard's brothers. You add my dad. You add, you know, whatever the situation, sponsors going on. By the time it's said and done, if you've got one car up there, you've got 40 to 60 people. Now, NHRA, thank you, Nikki, thank you, Josh, everybody. They haven't yelled at us this year for people on the starting line. We're supposed to only have 8 people on the starting line for each car. Last year, oh my God, I was in trouble every 3 seconds for that. They were counting, they would count. I would have to pull somebody back, push a sponsor up. They've let us come the semifinals on. They understand that guys work on other cars and then they come help this car. They deserve to stand behind their team and what they've worked on and send it down the racetrack. It's kind of poetic what we do. We stand behind them and watch them go off and see how well we all did, right? So they've done a good job of not robbing us of that. But man, if you ever watched one of the videos we posted, that second that wind light comes on, just the in unison yell, it has to be horrible.
We're going to see. I'm going to predict it. I know. You know what? I'm not jinxing anything but this. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, I cannot be controlled. I don't know what will happen. Sometimes people ask me, like, do you plan? Like, what do you do, Chase? And I have a system. If you watch us on the starting line, we're like, athletes. We're superstitious. We all have positions. People stand on certain sides of the car to see certain things. I always go find Chase. I set the cameras up. Dion takes over. He lets me sister. Sometimes I'm working. Sometimes I'm sistering. And I go stand by Chase. I tap him on the arm, and we have our shoulders up against each other. And just we push and push and push until she goes. And we all have our little things, but there is no planning. It is pure and utter debauchery that comes out of my soul.
So with Elite being, you know, such a large team, having as many cars as they do, have you guys all kind of bonded together, become a family? Or is it like, hey, this crew with this car, that crew with that car? Or is everybody, or is it a mix of both, right? Some people are like, hey, we're with this
car. It's a mix.
So like,
we are definitely, especially the two house cars, the yellow and the red car, you say mustard and ketchup. Those are the main ones. The guys who work on those cars are full-time employees of Elite Motorsports. When we're not racing, they're doing other stuff. The other cars are either employed by, like, Alex is just a lead deal. So he brings on, he gets an engine guy, but he brings a guy. So it kind of varies with the other cars. But those two cars, we have a little rivalry. We've got Team Red, we've got Team Yellow. At the end of the day, everybody is on board. Like Erica, obviously, if you can do the math, she really needed Jeg to go out early in Dallas after she lost, or Houston, wherever we just were. Jeg's hot on her trail. It would have been right, you know, in her gut of guts to just a little want him to lose, maybe. Oh, no, it is opposite. And if you watch her, you can't pretend what she did. When Jeg beats Greg, this broad is wild. Like, it is purely, purely family. We are a team in that sense. We fight like cats and dogs. I could rip Richard's hair off. Well, he's bald, his head off sometimes. I could punch Roy Sleeve right in the teeth. He sticks out there. But they're my people, and they've allowed me, with Richard and Roy Sleeve especially, Richard's always made a place for me to make sure that I could figure out a way to do what I like to do, but make enough money to be there for my sister. And all the crazy nonsense he is, I will always be so, so, so thankful for that. Even if it ends tomorrow, for the last 7 years, what a freaking ride to be able to do that. So hate them, love them. But yeah, it's the same core group. And we literally, as you see on the internet, I go to bat for these people all day, every day.
So what is it like having that rivalry, one, but two, having the history that the yellow car brings to the table? I mean, and now having the younger generation a part of the Elite crew, how cool is that to know that you're looking at years of history and working with years of history day in and day out? And it's normal for you, but for me, it'd be like, for the first month, it'd probably be like, oh my God.
It is not normal. Sometimes we had a group text message today. There's like Jeg Coughlin, I mean, Erica, blah, blah, whatever to me. There's just something. And he's one of my closest, like Samantha, his wife. I run marathons with her. I've been knowing her since bracket racing days back in like the early 2000s. But Bruno, Jeg, Erica, Alex, Richard, Aaron, and I think that was it, and TJ on this group text message. And it was a picture I took of all of them. And there's some little moments like that where they kind of make you stop and think. And I looked at all the people in that picture and the place and time. We don't know what Bruno's going to be doing next year. We don't know if TJ's going to come back. I mean, we don't know if drag racing comes back. We didn't know COVID was going to hit. And there was something special that happened last weekend. At that moment in time where those six people in that moment take that picture. And then we have a group text message with everyone in that photo. And it just like was almost one of those like, I don't belong in here. What am I doing with this? Like, Jeg Coughlin Jr., jeg@jegs.com. If you have that email address, you're the coolest person in the world. Your name@yourname.com. That's cool. So just the fact of that sometimes I do have to look back and think, wow, people come, look up in the stands. They come and pay to watch us work. Granted, they're not paying to watch me work, but I'm confident enough to know I'm an intricate part of this, and they wouldn't see what they see without people like me. And sometimes you got to look up and remind yourself of where you are. And that's the Goosey's moment. And I try really, really hard to life sometimes. You know, we watch it in the camera and all that, but I'm living it. And that is so, so, so cool. And I photograph everybody else and forget that, damn, like John Force just like made fun of me. That's cool.
And then you guys do some work for Jegs. You guys do a lot with that. And then, you know, Elite. I mean, it's not just every day.
Supply, they just sent us a bunch of bottles. We do all these product videos now. Like, it's wild the connections that you know, but then you realize how you can help feed each other. And that's another beautiful thing within our industry as well.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, there's some times where I'll reach out to Wes. Can't get a hold of you. I don't know why, but now I can. But
now you got the number.
I know. I won't abuse it. But, you know, you reach out and you're like, hey, if you need help, let me know. Or, hey, I got a question. But, you know, you got to remember that, hey, these people, you're not just sitting there doing pictures for one car. You have a team, and then you guys have other stuff you're doing. So it's consistently growing and growing and growing. Did you ever think starting, you know, like you said, CE Media and then Kings Ridge, did you ever think or plan for it to grow the way it has in this time?
No, I got to do 3 races of videos for Coletta Motorsports. I got to video them doing the debut of this new DHL car down at the finish line in Las Vegas. All the DHL, or all the Coletta cars out there, all the crew guys, and I got to do, they were having a big photo shoot, and I got to do a video for them of that, and that turned into 3 more races of it. But that, to me, was wild. Like, I thought I was wildly under-skilled. I got there, and I panicked. It was just me and a camera, and as I told you earlier, this isn't my gift, right? Like, the actual skill of videography and editing is not my gift. My gift is putting shit together and managing it. So I was thrown in because it was just Wes and I at this point and had to do it. And I was petrified. I'm like, the first gig we have, you're going to throw me with Connie Coletta? Like, we can't start with just an Erica project for a minute. But it was so incredible. And I look back on videos like that, and I don't even know where it went or what they did with it. People in DHL, if it's on a loop somewhere, but I watch that now and still cannot believe that, like, I shot that that's what it was, that they even considered my name in a pile of people to hire for that. So there's those little moments that I feel like this is all an accident.
No, I mean, it's definitely not, right? You take advantage of the, and I shouldn't say it this way, but I mean, I definitely am. You take advantage of the situations that you're given, and you were, and you were blessed with an opportunity to, quote unquote, I'm going to say it again, I hate hearing it, but, you know, ride your sister's coattail to the point where it's made who you are and it's made your lifestyle to where you can still do what you enjoy doing, which is supporting your sister and being there for your sister, but you can make a livelihood out of that, and it's not considered a job. You're doing what you love to do, and that's what, I mean, I think that's what the American dream is, right? Like, you live to work. Most people live to work, and then they're done. Well, no, you're living, which just happens to be your work. And I
heard an advertisement today, you know, today it said, weekends were meant for catching up on errands. And I looked at Dion and I go, no, they weren't. They're my racing. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, we have the coolest life ever. The normal person radio just offended me. Cause I'm like, weekends were not made for errands. They were made for racing. Like, who are you? Get out of here. But we have a weird life. And it is so incredible that I get to go get on an airplane every week and play with race cars and hang out with my sister and my best friends. And it's work, don't get me wrong. Last weekend, good Lord, I made a mistake I've never made before, and I didn't know I was going to out myself on your show, but I drug an entire folder of files to the wrong place, and it was an unmovable format, and I was not able to charge Paul Lee for this weekend or give him a video or any kind of coverage, and I just had to flat out take it like a man and make a huge mistake. So there's a lot of moving parts to what we do. And moments like that remind me of how many little opportunities to screw up that I have each year on logistics of SD cards, file corruption at that, batteries dying at the wrong time, upload nonsense of trying to get stuff to my editors by Sunday night. There's a lot of crap that goes along with making a cool video from an event on the road. And I think people forget that as well, that there is a It may not be grit of sweating and ripping apart a motor on a fuel car, but it's its own brand of horrible, horrible cluster F sometimes, and you just got to get through it. So, yeah, I made a mistake 15 years in. I made the mistake nobody wants to make.
ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you, you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota, again, that is ALS Teca, for all your dine-in and dine-out needs. So I know one thing with you is I would offer to say, hey, let's go and get tacos or something. But you have this really bad tendency to wear white shirts and spill things on them. Like, I mean,
I tried to wear a black shirt today and I spilled two, as we saw before we went on air. I had on a Lululemon vest. I don't know.
No,
I'm a very clean person.
Hey, I mean, it happens, right? It definitely does happen. But I know we've rambled about a lot of things and talked about a lot of things, but
I do want to say one more PDRA thing before we move on real quick.
All right.
I did not give due credit to, I gave the juniors the shout out, but aside from that, nobody can beat those kids. Huge shout out, Lane Morgan. Mark my words, this will come up 10 years from now. Lane Morgan is going to be a star. He's going to be a star like the NHRA has never seen. I almost cringe saying this because I've had a long friendship lifetime with Sean Langdon. He's a baby Sean Langdon, and he is going to be bad to the bone. But the Placino team did an unbelievable thing this year that people are not talking about enough.
Hands down.
And
if
you can drag illustrated this month, they are going to get due credit for where it's deserved. They dominated. Johnny Placino is a boss.
I'm sorry, but listening to them on one of our other friends, the limo guy at large, shout out to him. But
limo guy,
he did an awesome job at just letting them be them. I mean, those guys, hands down, are the funniest. And I'm trying to I'm trying to work on getting Johnny Placino on here.
I got excited talking about people winning. 115 was my heart rate, talking about people winning. I was waiting to show you.
As Wes would say, I'm getting goosebumps. But I can honestly say, like, what they did in PDRA this year was hands down, like, that was beautiful. But when all the air gets, you know, all the smoke after the burnout, everything happens, who is Courtney? Like, what do you do? Like, what's your, I guess, routine? Do you have any superstitions about racing? Like, who, honestly, like, if you had to tell the people who don't know who you are, and I'm even getting texts from one of my friends, Isaac, who wants the post-signed poster from you and your sister. He's like, I really want to just join right now so I can see you and say hi, but I'm so scared. I can't do it. But who is who honestly is Courtney?
At the end of the day, I have a great career. I think we do a very good job at what we do, but the only reason I do what I do is because of who I am. And people can say that I'm still just on the coattail, but I'm my sister's sister. And the only reason that we've made it through all these years is my dad equipped us to do it together. We are a team. He ended up, you know, not being able to, you get to a certain point where your kid goes pro and you don't get to go to work with him every day anymore. And he had the confidence to know that we were there together. There's been a lot of crap we've had to deal with. We had a lot of fights we've been in together. Got a fight on the starting line on Sunday. If you were watching NHRA.tv, you might have seen it. But I am the person behind my sister. I'm at her door. No matter what one of my clients are on the racetrack, especially now that I have Dion helping me under the tower, I am at her door, looking her in the eyes, making sure that she sees herself the way that I see her and the way that the people who respect her and know what she can do sees her, and help her to be able to stay mentally right to perform in the way that I know she was gifted to. Some people call that a coattail. Some people call that your place in life, but that is my place. And I'm by her door and I'm making money elsewhere and invested in other things. But at the end of the day, wherever she goes, I go. So this all blows up. You want to find Courtney, you just go wherever she goes.
Just driving fast and taking chances, right?
And driving that bitch back.
I'm telling you, if you don't make
coolest
these
thing ever.
Cool. Like, how did that come about? Tell
I know
everyone.
You were trying to wrap up. This story's worth it. We're in Charlotte, and she hadn't won in 2 years. We had the Dodge drought, the EFI drought, and she won, and it was absolutely incredible. That's when one of the big jumps started. But we were in the staging lanes, and we were first. They signed up, or they put the two winner circle things together, and the fuel guys just kind of wait and line up. So Steve-O and his whole team were there, and everybody's cheering us on, and it was a cool thing. And Erica was joking because Jed Coughlin Sr. had driven it back way back in the day, and so we had joked about starting that up again. And she looked at Jake Harrison, our engine guy, and goes, "Can I?" And he goes, "You got to service it anyway. Go ahead." So we drove it that very first video, drove it by the Torrance guys. They're hooting and hollering. And that phrase was so organic. I hand on the Bible, on my dog's life, not planned, not nothing. I just said, like in all awe, because I've never been in that car when it was moving. Think about it. Who's ever in a pro stock car except the driver when it's moving? I had an air bottle up my ass, but I was in the car when it was moving, and I was so amped up. I had never felt that in my bones like that. I've never watched her shift from inside the car. She was yanking that thing into gear and looking up, trying to navigate through the pits and whoop on it past Chase and mine. And I like fangirled out for a second, and we got back, and I was just in awe. It was rhetorical. Like, what did you just do? She said, "I drove that bitch back." And that was it.
Natural.
And now we said, "We're going to do that every time." I said, "Now that that's a thing, we have to do it every time or we've lost it. You don't claim to be the first, but we have to do it every time."
So then going back to the door slammers, then Jeg drives that bitch back. And then not only
Alex
Jeg, and then Alex, I have a video of it, of Alex. He's like, "Hey, we're driving that bitch back." And it's like, you know, it's become very catchy. And like I said,
we did videos of it. Junior Dragsters at the PDRA. I think Nick, the kid who won the older kids world championship, the very beginning of the year, the first race he did, his mom actually was like, film it and ask him. I said, "No, I don't want to make him cuss." And she said, "Do it." And we have this incredible video of this kid going, "I'm going to drive that bitch back." And he gets in the car and he goes away. And Brian Lones, out of nowhere, steps into my frame and goes, "And that, my friends, is called driving the bitch back." And he walked away. And I'm like, this is epic. And the mom loved it. And like, we get videos all the time, and I love it. Love it. Didn't claim to start it. We get a lot of shit for that. Didn't claim to start it. We just brought it back.
So, if you don't make this shirt, I'm going to make the shirt. I'm just saying. I guarantee I'll buy one. And I know probably 10, 15 other people that will, for sure. I mean,
we get more requests for that stuff, and anytime we do an order, it sells out in 3 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think driving that bitch back t-shirts, because then look at it. You have a fan that comes 4 years from now, right? And they have a 2020.
I was there.
I was there. And who knows, if you do a run of them, you guys sell them at that event and you highlight which track it was that, you know, I've got ideas. I'll text you about those later. But going, you know, kind of wrapping this all up here, if you could tell anyone that is someone that's like in my position, I know we've had this conversation before, but
mind you, I'm on your show. You have a show. I don't have a show.
Yeah, but still, and I appreciate that. That honestly does mean a lot. But
I don't have the balls to do this. So kudos to you.
A little liquid courage goes a long way. But I'm not. I'm actually drinking. This is tea in my cup today. I don't know. I literally got on a
Turbo Chico.
No, I literally got on a tea kick like yesterday, and so I'm really liking it. A little honey. I don't want to get sick. It's not the time. But if you could tell anyone that's in the media industry, if you could say you had to do a 20-minute or let's say an hour-long like presentation, but knock it down, and if you could tell anyone the key points of like how to grow when and what to do, what would your words be to them, you know, to help them keep pushing through in those late nights when you're up editing or when you're at the track and you got to get home and produce that video or, you know, cut that perfect interview and match it with the words or anything like that, and everything that you've got going on, what would be your words to someone that's listening?
The first thing, and I wouldn't have known this answer, I don't think, if I wouldn't have just spent a year of my life, I don't want to say training Dion, but just having him live this with me the first few races. I didn't even have tasks for him. He just kind of followed, and I just explained what I was doing. But fake it. I don't mean that in a sense of don't know what you're doing. Always be learning. Always be, if you don't know something and you get to a point where you did have to fake it till you make it for a second, take that as an opportunity to Google it. My biggest phrase in the world is Google it, right? Like, none of us know anything. We were taught it or we figured it out. So creating this niche of whatever it is that you want to do, don't necessarily get in where you fit in. How I started was got in where I fit in, and I ended up cooking for Elite Motorsports for the first year. I was their chef with the team manager. Do not get in where you fit in. Find what you love, create the niche, and do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Nobody's going to buy into it at first, and you're going to keep having to do it until somebody believes in it as much as you do. So if you have 2 views on a video you did, people get so discouraged, like, oh, you have all these followers and this like. Well, it took a long time, first off. It took a little coattailing, and it took a little Disney movie. But with all those things, in the past 2 years, people say that it relied on all those things. But if you base fandom or fame on your following, like people do anymore, the last 18 months to 2 years of my life, it has quadrupled. I kind of was plateaued at a point, and I fully put that to the point where I put myself out there, made mistakes, put videos out that were garbage, partnered with the wrong people. But you can't let the 3 likes or the no views get in your way, because you're creating this portfolio for yourself of even the growth that you've put forth. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know everything. Just keep trying and find a spot for yourself to where you're needed. And like I tell Dion, every dead fish comes to the surface at some point. So you just keep pushing and keep chugging away. Somebody's going to see you, and then it just blossoms. It takes 10 years of this, and then all of a sudden it just rolls. So just keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. So you've got another thing too. Is it Vans on, is it Vans for Vegas? Are you wearing your Vans for Vegas?
No, yes. I don't know, and this is the whole thing, because I have like 3 different cycles of lucky stuff, and my sister usually gets to pick and like the feel of things. So I'm gonna bring it all. I don't know if it's gonna be the red pants on Sunday. I don't know, but I have this pair of checkerboard Vans that are undefeated, and may have to bust those out.
So if you don't know, if you're ever watching the NHRA live feed, or you're watching it on TV, and if you see someone either in black spandex and a tank top shirt or anything like that, I can get, or red spandex, I can guarantee you,
hat.
Yeah, that's 95% of Courtney's closet. But yeah, I mean, looking forward, what's the plan for Courtney? I mean, are you riding it out? A lot of new. You said you're taking on some new work, so big things there. Like, tell us where to follow you, what you got going, what to look out for, and you know, and the ticker below. Check out Kings Ridge Media.
The most important thing in my life right now, which matters to none of y'all, but that's okay. My best friend Brooklyn just had a baby, so as soon as Vegas is over, I'm gonna go steal her baby and take care of her life for her in San Antonio. We actually did a video for her too, of her pregnancy journey and all that. So we do all kinds of nonsense, but I'm going to get legs. Mark my words, Courtney Enders is going to get legs in Fort Worth here and branch out and go where it's uncomfortable and have some normal people businesses for social media maintenance and stuff while we're here. So that's my 4-month plan. We don't have the normal few weeks till PRI and just order new crew shirts, order new hero cards. Like, usually it's just a quick rush to redo everything, and we're kind of given this gift of time. And like I said, I keep using the phrase mailbox money, but I just bought a house. I'm about to be 34 in 2 weeks. And I realized that the only thing that I do is go drag racing. And so, although it's my favorite thing in the world, I'm going to get some legs here with some normal businesses.
I don't
That's
think
the plan.
34. Nah, I'm thinking 26, 27.
The lighting is good for the cruise.
It's the wine. I'm going to blame it on the wine. But again, where can we check you out at? Where should we be looking for all of your content?
IG's my favorite. My personal stuff, and we'd be fools to not boost the personal stuff. My Instagram is pretty much where it all goes. As you know, my story is 100% where I kind of get to be myself, and I get to be goofy and spill things and show my closet and whatever. But I run all of the Erica Enders Racing stuff, anything Elite Motorsports, Alex Laughlin, obviously the Kings Ridge Media pages. But we try and do a pretty good job of not promoting ourselves and letting our clients kind of do the talking and not really selling, here's what Kings Ridge did over the weekend, but putting out there what we do. Denso USA, Matt Angie Smith, any videos that come out of there, that's us. We've actually got our website, kingsridgemedia.com. We are working on it. Might be live. This is Wes's baby. A landing page where we're going to have some different styles of all the videos that we do, product videos, sponsorship decks. We kind of fell into something this year of doing video decks. Everybody's got a PowerPoint, but we did one on Erica, and it just was huge success, especially with sportsman racers. So that's a good project over the off season that we're going to be playing it out pretty hard. So just you can find it anywhere, but I boast all the things we do pretty hard on my personal Instagram. So it's CE_ME_DIA, like CE Media ish.
I will put that in the link so everybody can do that and check that out. But we have reached that point where you have to press that button, release those shoots, take another drink of your wine if there's anything.
One more.
There you go. We're releasing that parachute. Is there anyone you would like to thank? Anybody that, you know, has tremendously helped you and everything like that? You know, guess closing words as you are about to get pushed off the track by the safety safari.
Glenn Cromwell told me I was a baby Greg Enders, and it was the greatest compliment in the world. My dad taught me everything I know and taught me how to stand by my family and my sister, and through whatever off-season turmoil nonsense that comes away in funny season, that's the most important lesson along the way. So baby Greg Enders, that's me.
There you guys go. That is Courtney Enders. Some people may say that she is riding on the coattails of her sisters, but like she said, she is making her own legs and making waves in the media industry. Thanks again for your time, friend, colleague, coach, mentor, all the words. I can't thank you enough for, like I said, coming on to the show and all your helpful words that you've said over there. Well, it hasn't even been a year yet. So, look forward to seeing you. Look forward to seeing you very soon, hopefully at a racetrack or some event. But until we speak again, you keep smashing that loud pedal. Everybody, that is my friend, my colleague, Courtney. I can't thank her enough. And like I said, many people would say whatever they're going to say about her. She is an awesome person doing great things with Kings Ridge Media. And again, we always love smashing that loud pedal. If you guys have any comments, concern, you guys can get a hold of us here at In The Groove, double E, In The Groove Podcast at gmail.com. If you would like to be on or even becoming a marketing partner, we are probably one of the growing fast motorsports podcasts. We talk anything from NHRA, PDRA, IMCA, late model, and sprint car. So please, if you would like to get a hold of us, go over and email us at In The Groove Podcast. And if you would like to save 15% on all your tools, please go over to our friend Power Build Tools. Check them out. Use product code MADBRO15 and you can save 15%. This has been another episode of In The Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Power Bit Tools, LS Teca Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on. And you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.